Way, way back in the 1980s, secret government employees dug up famous guys and ladies and made them using genetic copies. Now the clones are sexy teens. Now they're gonna make it if they try. Loving, learning, sharing, charging. Time to laugh and shiver and...
Oh, you can tell that music. We are still watching Clone High. Welcome to a very special episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't. I'm your host, Brett Medill. With me, as always, is co-host Sean Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Approve of that introduction.
That's nice. Well, pleased to meet you, JFK Stewart.
No problem.
Are there any brands of coffee that you'd recommend, JFK Stewart?
I am a Folgers man.
Why is that? What kind of slogan do they have? I don't remember that one.
The best part of waking up is there are Folgers in your cup.
Oh, I like that.
With my penis. You just have to throw that in every yeah, single time.
That's
you do
how
JFK.
It also has to be part of it.
Yeah.
What other? Okay. That's great. That's awesome. I like that, Sean. Thank you. Welcome.
No problem.
It's little show is time with more Clone High, huh? We're watching episodes 7 and 8 this time around.
We sure are.
What's the title of episode 7, Sean?
Episode 7 title is Plane Crazy : Gate Expectations.
That's a good one. This is this episode is really, it's about spring break, and it's about running in airports.
And Ashley Angel.
And Ashley Angel from O-Town.
You know, from the very popular boy band O-Town.
Yeah, international superstar Ashley Angel.
Yeah.
Very famous superstar Ashley Angel, household name. Ashley Angel.
Rolls off the tongue. Every kid knows his name by now.
And also the beaches of Canada.
And the beaches of Canada. I was like, the whole time we were watching that episode, I'm like, what beaches do Canada have?
The sunny beaches of Canada.
The thing I, like, the closest thing I could think of is like maybe Churchill, but that wouldn't be sunny at all.
Welcome to balmy Toronto Island.
Yeah.
Where the beaches are hot and the drinks are cold.
Welcome to Victoria, where it's rain everywhere, all the time.
Have a seal steal your sandwich. It's the sunny beaches of Victoria, mother, father.
See a dolphin, maybe, or not. It doesn't matter.
Welcome to Halifax. The water is unswimmably cold. Hang out on our rock beaches.
Welcome to Nunavut. Let's party.
Get stabbed.
Spring break style.
Get stabbed in Newfoundland. There's no jobs anywhere. The beaches of Newfoundland. I don't even know what they sound like. I'm starting to do like a bad Irish accent for a Newfie.
It's like a, yeah.
Car, stab you, in the car. I don't know. How about that? That's my best one. So gate expectations. Yeah, lots of, so this episode, Cleo gets to go to the sunny beaches of Canada for spring break to dance on cable television, basically on MTV. This show on MTV, basically, this show on MTV is making fun of MTV for having shows like this. Like, it's making fun of another show that's on the network, really.
They also make fun of Ashley Angel, too. Like, they feed him lines that sound incredibly sarcastic.
I hope he knows he was making fun of himself.
Does he?
I don't know.
We'll have to text him.
Mike, the situation, Sorrentino.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's essentially the situation, but can kind of sing.
Yeah, so Cleo being far away creates all this tension with Abe, who's, you know, believes, you know, if she's alone with another guy that she might...
She might do things.
It's called trust.
It's called trust, Brett.
But, so she's, there's pressure there.
Well, they didn't even kiss yet. Like, they still need to have their first kiss, but Cleo wants it to be special.
Trying to get that first kiss.
And it's not working out for Abe.
Abe wants it. And Gandhi, of course, is trying to become a pop star.
No, he's trying to become a rap star.
A rap star.
A rap thug. A thug in the rap game.
Like Bubba Sparks.
Just like his idol, Bubba Sparks.
Okay, Sean, I think before we go any further, you should, on your phone while I'm talking here for a second, like, let's try and figure out who the frick Bubba Sparks is.
Should we?
Like,
okay, let's do this.
Is this something that we should have done before air? No.
Probably.
No,
but
it
cares?
Isn't.
We're doing it now.
Because the real question is, like, okay, so they're, oh my God, okay, he's a white guy, first of all.
Isn't he, like, kind of overweight, too?
Yeah, he's a big white guy. Okay, so
cool. Here
we go. Because yeah, we're watching the episodes just like you do, and I'm loving the Bubba Sparks references. They're hilarious because all the references, like, I mean, Bubba Sparks, Ashley Angel. They're basically making fun of these people for being not really being superstars, you know, for having their 15 minutes.
For sure.
And, okay. Okay, so Bubba Sparks definitely stinks.
Bubba Sparks, yeah.
That's definitely not going to be cool.
Not the greatest rapper.
But yeah, so Bugatti becomes a rap star in this episode, and, you know, but his follow-up hit maybe is less good.
Well, his follow-up hit is kind of a remix of JFK's Your Grand Old Flag.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Song taking?
Yeah, that's what JFK referred it to it as.
But Gandhi was hesitant at first because it's against the rapper's code.
But is it song taking if JFK did the song and he's involved in Gandhi using it?
I mean, isn't Your Grand Old Flag like public domain? Yeah, I don't see
exactly
why that would be a problem.
He used JFK's recording of Your Grand Old Flag, but...
But he's like buds with JFK.
Exactly. JFK was part of that production.
That makes no sense.
I'm so confused now.
Let's read into that some more right now.
Oh, no. I need to know the legalities behind the situations in my cartoon programs, Sean.
I know, right?
It's imperative to my understanding of the situation. I'm not sure what voice that was.
I
go in and out
sure
of
either.
All sorts of different voices. It's fun. So I want to really point out that I love the sound effects of the crotch rubbing. It might be one
of
my favorite.
Oh, I didn't even notice the sound.
When she's rubbing her booty on Ashley Angel's business.
Right.
When it's the booty business connection happening and they're making the friction take action.
Right.
There's like a rubber on rubber squeaking sound. It's just like... It's disconcerting at best.
Yeah, now that you make that sound, that's it's a little weird.
Oh, and we've also, of course, glossed over the fact that Scudworth is battling annoying animals.
Well, he just wants to do evil surgery, and this damn skunk will just not leave him alone.
Scudworth's story is going it's introduced with no introduction. Like, it just starts happening for no reason.
Oh,
no,
I'm just
explanation.
Do evil surgery.
Well, no, but that's not Sean. Scudworth wanting to do experimental surgeries is not the part that I have a problem with.
Okay.
It's these animal characters interfering with it is the part that there is introduced in no way at all or explained in any way. It's just like, okay, so he's trying to go about his business. And so are we supposed to believe that Scudworth's life just consists of constantly being foiled by cartoon animals?
Based on this episode, I'm going to say yeah.
I don't know what to think here, man. Like, it's just
he's basically the Wile E. Coyote of his own life. Because the situations you get set up in are very Looney Tunes-esque. Like the anvil over the plate of free bacon, because mm-hmm. skunks love bacon, right?
Skunks
everybody
love
knows
bacon.
This. It's like
common
fact.
Knowledge about skunks. If you have a skunk problem, bacon.
Yeah.
If you get sprayed by a skunk, you bathe in bacon.
Bacon
everyone knows
and
this.
Tomato
you,
juice.
Yeah. Well.
Well, you eat that first, and
that's
then
that's right. You eat a lot. You bathe in tomato juice, and you eat a pound of bacon.
Yeah.
That's
that
how
cures skunk.
Cures skunk.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you find like a dead skunk on your road. Or on your lawn, I should say, that's bad luck. And so you have to rub it with bacon before you throw it away.
That's
and
true.
To turn the luck around.
Right.
Right? You know.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Well, I'm from a rural community. And I'm
skunks
just,
die all the time.
I'm just letting you know that when we grew up, that's how we handled the happenstance of a skunk death. You know, you can call it superstition, Sean. I won't deny
you know what?
You
I
that.
Call it tradition.
That's right. That's
because
right.
I'm also from a small town.
Thank you, Sean.
Unfortunately.
Thank you for supporting me.
No problem. That's what I'm here for. For moral and...
skunkle support.
And skunkle support.
It's the best kind of support, you know? Mm-hmm. It stinks. You smell it.
So Abe isn't upset that Cleo is grinding all over Ashley Angel, but extremely upset that he didn't that she didn't wear his Letterman jacket.
It's weird because... Abe's very progressive seeing Ashley Angel as a professor of dance for her. You know,
well, he set up the spring break thing as an institution of
that's
partying
right.
or whatever.
That's right. It's school.
Yeah.
She's learning by going there. So Abe doesn't have a problem with it, you know? But, and the jacket, what is the jacket says property of Abe Lincoln.
That is quite possibly the worst thing you could put on any jacket.
The funniest joke. That is the funniest joke, I think, in the episode. It's just so. Oh, man. Am I
crapping out?
Okay. It was such a good joke that the property of Abe Lincoln joke on the jacket is fantastic. Just like, it's so gross. I don't think
it's
I even
disgusting.
Appreciate it. I didn't even appreciate it when I would have seen this show originally, right? Like, that would have glossed over me. And it only has become more poignant now. You see that and you're like, and it becomes so funny by how gross it is.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. At the time, like, the joke, it's the same joke. Like, they're making fun of the same thing then as we think about it now. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, it's so much more poignant now to make that joke, right? Like, or it seems like it is. I don't know.
For sure.
Those kind of jokes are, I don't know. It's an example of where I would say the show is a little bit ahead of its time, where I don't think shows like this were making that joke then.
For sure.
Or maybe I'm just sounding like a crazy person. Also, I want to point out, in 2002, this is another way I thought it was ahead of its time, in a very odd way. Not really ahead of its time, that's a bad way of saying it. Abe uses the word cuckold. He's like, you've cuckolded me, Cleo. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have known, I guarantee I didn't know what the word cuckold meant when I saw this show in 2002. And
oblivious to cuckolding.
In 2002, I would say that it would be impressive for a teenager to know the word cuckold. Right. But not anymore.
No, we have the internet now.
Now, these days, with the way the internet has gone, the word cuckold, I don't care for it.
I don't understand it, to be honest.
Nor do I.
I don't get how that is sexy in any way.
Listener, let me tell you, if you understand the appeal of cuckolding, and you listen to the little shows that couldn't, maybe you're the person that can connect with us and help us understand the appeal. So
because
I would invite you to contact us, make a YouTube video, tweet us, contact us however you want.
Construct vines.
But with, tastefully.
Right. Yeah. Know what cuckolding is.
We don't need to see any demonstrations.
We just need to know why people think it's sexy.
Yeah. Why should we care?
Why should we give a god darn?
But yeah, it's not impressive for people to know that anymore. No. I love that JFK doesn't even seem to know Gandhi's name when they get together. Like, let's cover the Gandhi plot here.
Okay.
Gandhi decides to become a rapper. He's basically has already got this thing recorded at the beginning of the show. He's been inspired by Bubba Sparks to become G-Spot. He's got a disc that he gives to Cleo to give to Ashley Angel, which she does because apparently she's a good friend to him.
Well, no. She didn't really
give
it to
accident?
Him.
Was it by accident?
Yeah, she was twerking it pretty hard
and
on
it just
Ashley.
Flies
and
it flew
out of her
pants.
Flew out of her pocket into the DJ's hands. And he's like, hang on a second, I'm going to play this.
Just the force of Ashley Angel's business and the
well,
booty.
Well, that rubber
the
noise.
The business booty connection, business booty connection just squeezed
much.
The CD right out of there.
Right out of that booty.
Popped it right into the open disc tray, which was still a thing. And we hear the song, you know, and G-Spot rocks the G-Spot.
Yeah.
Gandhi becomes a hit. And is Gandhi surprised by the song's success?
It doesn't seem like it.
Not at all.
He seems like he knew what he was doing, like, as soon as he wrote that first line.
It's just all of a sudden his song is playing on TV. Joan and Abe can't believe it. And he's just like,
Gandhi's just like, yep.
He's just like, yep.
That's me.
That's what's supposed to happen.
I'm rocking that G-Spot.
That's what G-Spot's life is like.
Just rocking the G-Spot 24/7.
That's right.
And I like dropping vowels when I can.
It's a good way to go. I like dropping consonants.
Consonants. That's what I meant, not vowels.
They're both good to drop, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. We should just have like a language of just like, we should just digress or like degress.
Have our own like Cockney rhyming slang.
Not even rhyming, just like grunts and like and like noises to use as words.
Yeah, just have our
own replacement as words.
Just I think we just use words to mean different words. Like it's buy one get one free, and you're like that's called peppermint tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Peppermint tea, buy one get one free. You know.
And it kind of rhymes, so I mean, from, that's another G-spot.
You know,
track.
If you're from the neighborhood, you know how to say that. And if you're cool, you know, if you and if you can't hang with us, then we know you're an outsider, and we can stab you.
If you don't know it, you're bend.
That's just right. Like I think that's where Cockney rhyming slang just comes from. Like, if people can't talk,
that was probably a street song. Now that I think about it,
if people can't talk your rhyming slang, that means that's who you can rob, right?
That's pretty much how it works down there, I think.
Right? I think that's how you knew who was from the
neighborhood.
I mean,
I'm no expert, but I mean, I'm that pretty sounds sure. right.
That's how you knew who was from the neighborhood. And if right. they didn't speak in the Cockney rhyming slang, you knew that it was safe to rob that person because, you know, you didn't need to be loyal to the neighborhood.
Right.
Because they were going to have to go from far away. Who's gonna rat on you? No one in the neighborhood.
The police? They
yeah.
don't care.
No, the police are from the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
The police speak Cockney rhyming slang around here. Stabbed guy in the street with no shoes. Anyway. Yeah.
I just want to point out the part where Abe is reviewing the Spring Break video.
Yes.
And he talks to the VCR like it's some kind of like advanced cyborg.
VCR, zoom in.
And it's doing all the things that VCRs could never do ever.
Phone, call yeah. Cleo. A phone can call Cleo now. But in 2002,
oh, yeah.
phone cannot call Cleo. 2002,
that was just a
we did
wild
not finish,
dream.
We did not finish Gandhi's story.
Sorry.
Gandhi gets his first hit. He's unsurprised. But he's having problems. He cannot
write
a follow-up hit. He's got a dolphin in his pool somewhere, apparently. We dolphin
I didn't
watch.
See it. I'm that, glad, I'm
you,
glad
they
you
don't
did.
Show it. You hear it.
Oh, okay.
That's all we get.
Just a,
but
just
it's
a
there.
Thing.
That's the point. We get a dolphin reference. I didn't see it, but I heard the dolphin.
Fair enough. Good enough for me.
But he can't write a song. And Gandhi apparently doesn't even... JFK apparently doesn't even know Gandhi's name. He just calls him Bald Nerd. Hey, bald nerd.
What do you want?
Yeah.
You're a bald nerd.
But, you know, he's interrupting JFK's recording of various holiday albums. Because JFK is nothing if not patriotic.
I would argue he's pretty patriotic.
He's cutting a July 4th album and making fun of gay lyrics.
Like you
Root!
Do on any weekend, really.
Root. It has two meanings.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. There's a lot of kiss pressure going on. A lot of back and forth. There's a lot of running, airport running. What's your, Sean, what's your favorite airport running movie?
Airport running movie?
Yeah, is there a movie with airport running at gates or like...
Oh,
gate,
you know what?
Kisses.
Home Alone. Home Alone 2.
That's your. Do they meet dramatically at the gate?
No, but it all starts off with if you watch the first Home Alone, you know that they forgot Kevin upstairs in the attic.
Yep.
Oh darn! Better go back. In the second one, they actually remembered him this time, but. While he's changing the batteries to his very famous talk boy, he loses sight of his family, and then we get Kevin McAllister in New York.
Lost in New York, indeed.
And he gets super lost, and it's hilarious antics from there on out.
And you can hear more about that on our spinoff podcast, The Culkin Experience, where we review every Macaulay Culkin movie.
Yeah. We've covered Party Monster. We've covered...
you'll hear them all. We've got
Richie
them in,
Rich.
We've got them in the can. They're coming out soon.
Yep.
The Culkin Experience.
Check it out.
I'm dead serious. That's going
That's
to happen.
That's going to happen?
That's
okay.
something we're going to do now.
Perfect. I'm on board.
Yeah, so...
We're kind of jumping all over the place, but...
Well, we finished Gandhi's thing.
Gandhi's.
No, we didn't. They came up with the... They just rip off JFK's... patriotic flag song, and Gandhi just kind of goes
and kind of
over it, and
says,
they do
yeah.
and they just do a horrible rap video with all the stereo just butts everywhere
yep.
in the video. That's Gandhi's story, and it just kind of tails off that way. We assume that song is not a hit, and then his career as G-Spot just kind of trails off
from there,
because it's I don't think it's referenced in future episodes.
I don't think so. But what was referenced was the first episode when they talk about, remember that time we drank the fake beer?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of cereals.
There was a little bit
there.
Of that. I just want to touch on how awful Cleo is because it's
She's
just.
She's the worst.
It's magnified by like a million in this episode when she forgets her own boyfriend's name.
Yeah.
When she's with Ashley Angel at the airport and he's like trying to convince her to stay. She's like, no, I got to make things right with my boyfriend. And she's just. Abe. That's who I'm dating.
Right.
That's who I'm pulling by.
Who is it?
Thread.
Which is the other one I'm supposed to be going to right now? I remember which one I'm with right
Cleo's
now.
Just
who's
the
other one? She's just always got two men in her brain at any given time.
That sounds right.
She just can't have one.
No.
She needs to have like conflict or something. She needs to create this drama.
She needs to double her pleasure, double her fun, double men style.
Yeah. She's too much woman for one man, baby. So I guess we tie up Gandhi there. And then Abe, I mean, Abe is just, you know, hopelessly pursuing Cleo because she's hot and he's got way too much testosterone pumping through his lanky frame.
But is too oblivious to Joan. Well, he's not oblivious. He just thinks
Joan
is a bit.
Joan, your fake infatuation bit gets me every time.
You should join an improv group or something.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is so good. So good.
Abe, why are you such a dick?
He's just a dummy. He's just like a 14-year-old dummy.
No, he's 16.
16-year-old dummy.
Well, he was 15 last
year.
Whatever.
He's
now he's 16.
Right. He's 16. He's got a beard.
Which
now.
Is it, Abe?
He's a dummy.
Better keep your story straight.
Dumbass.
Skunky Poo messes up Scudworth's plans.
Well, let's finish Abe's story. We'll get back. We'll close with Skunky Poo. Abe. Their story, Cleo's bad. They keep going back and forth, all the airport running. You like Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone 2 Lost in New York.
Right.
We covered that. Cuckolds. Ashley Angel's eyebrows, Sean. He's, of course,
God.
A huge...
so funny.
He's a huge celebrity, which gets pounded into us over and over again. They do like the
much like
tremendous
Bubba
superstars like Bubba Sparks and Ashley Angel of O-Town. And they'd even do the Ashley Angel, he's from that famous boy band. Backstreet Boys?
Yeah. No.
98 Degrees?
No.
NSYNC?
No.
Menudo?
Menudo?
Yeah, right.
Menudo, like the oldest boy band in existence. Is Menudo still around?
The Beatles?
Was
he in the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic band?
What did Abe call him? Like a mix between Jesus and the Beatles?
Yes.
In like the most, like, in the... The thickest sarcasm is just dripping off of everything that Abe is saying in that moment.
It's just great. I like it. And Ashley Angel, of course, ends up losing out and, you know, get all the airport
Abe wins
running.
Somehow.
And Abe still gets to win somehow. Now let's talk about Scudworth. Now, first of all, he just wants to do some experimental surgeries.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to do some experimental surgeries, what kind of things you got in mind?
Well, first I'm going to make sure everything's sterilized, you know, nice clean environment.
No, but like what kind of surgeries are you looking to perform?
What kind of surgeries?
Like, if you're doing an experimental exploratory surgery, what kind of stuff are you just going to go digging around to look at?
I mean, I'd probably just take out organs if I was just going to explore. Like, are we assuming that the person is going to live at the end of this?
I don't think so. It looked like they kind of hauled out a bunch of corpses, eh?
Didn't
it look like Mr. B rolled out a bunch of corpses?
Well,
for
they were
him
doing it alphabetically,
into?
So
he had a lot of alphabetical corpses.
A lot of atoms in there,
but they were corpses, right?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't.
But
think
when
they
Skunky
were...
Poo was trying to
blood spatter.
Yeah, there was blood spatter and a scream.
Okay, so maybe these are just like knocked out students.
Maybe?
Prepare the students for me, Mr. B. I'm going to dig around in their torsos for a while.
I'm going to take their kidneys out and put it on the black market.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to fund my secret super prison throughout kidney sales.
Kidney and lungs, they're very popular.
Yeah, you can take one lung out. It's possible.
And yeah, Skunky Poo just messes up every single plan of his.
What sort of genre would you call this?
I don't know. What would you consider Looney Tunes?
I guess it's fairly Looney Tuney.
It's incredibly Looney Tuney. Are you kidding me?
But it's not really. Like, the roots of that are there, but it's just gross. Like, Looney Tunes would never do anything like that.
Well, they wouldn't go as graphic as, like...
Yeah, like, it's just, they,
like
just like, they just made
like
it they just made it gross.
Stumps and whatnot, but...
Yeah. They just amped it up to, like, make it absurdly...
cartoonish levels, I'd
like,
say.
But it's like they were... Do you think they were like make was that commentary on Looney Tunes? in some way? Do you think they don't like Looney Tunes or something? Like, was that a...
I think it was just a way to, like, emulate some crazy antics that Scudworth was going through.
I guess.
Because you gotta give Scudworth something to do. You can't just...
It's such a weird device.
A little bit.
The skunk just
shooting. But I feel like it worked, though.
Oh, it works, but because... it's just so bizarre.
Well, that's why I think
I know,
it worked.
But yeah. So and gross and over the top.
Kind of like an episode of Happy Tree Friends within an episode of Clone High.
Yeah, you just get a few tastes of it, though, and that's okay, yeah. I guess.
And then he takes off to a vacation for some reason and runs into Krabby Cakes, who, like...
just awful.
Cuts his nose off or something.
Just terrible.
And, yeah, that pretty much wraps up episode 7.
Ugh.
Good times. Good times in episode 7.
I don't
7.
Know, man. Jeez.
I mean, we did cover super famous Ashley Angel, so I mean that's pretty daunting in its own right.
I mean, really. So until next time, we move on to episode 8 from the sunny beaches of Canada.
From the sunny beaches of Canada
on
to
episode
8.
And what's our title, episode 8, Sean?
To a rock opera called "Raising the Stakes: A Rock Opera in 3 Acts." Did you count 3 acts? I think there were actually 3 acts.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, have the opening opening singing number called Normal, I imagine, because...
you introduce the raisins. Everyone goes wild with the raisins.
Everybody goes ridiculous, yeah. And then
you bring it down.
And the parents get all concerned and...
And pusher gets exposed.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the story of the episode.
Not really much story going on in this one.
Larry Hardcore, yeah. It's, well, you see, of course, Sean, as it's in there, it's the musical episode. It's a Broadway-style episode-ish thing. So, of course, in the tradition of musical theater, subtext takes a vacation, and everyone sings exactly what they think and or up to.
That's what I don't... That's, like the big reason why I can't get into musicals.
Yeah.
Because I just can't... I can't see that as like a, I don't know. I can't.
It's not realistic enough for you, Sean?
It doesn't feel real to me. Like nobody's like singing in the morning, like I'm making bacon and eggs now.
Maybe you don't. I mean,
I certainly don't. I have
My life is peppered with song.
I guess. I just have no joy in my life is my problem.
Yeah, I guess so. You need to take
I need
up...
to start singing when I'm cooking and stuff.
You need to just take up the accordion and you won't be able to keep yourself from singing.
That's true. The accordion is one funky instrument.
One pump on the old squeeze box, Sean, and you'll be tunes will be flying out of you. You won't be
right
able
out
to,
of the mouth
you won't be able to keep them inside. The joy that will flow from you like Weird Al's fever dreams. And you'll
right.
be happy for the first time. It'll be a revelation.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Just like Larry Hardcore is giving you raisins.
It would be just like a raisin trip.
Oh, man. Larry Hardcore, that poor guy, I mean, he wrote a hit song, sure. You know,
he was
that.
Super high when he did it, too, so, I mean, that's like double.
He's done it all, man. He's done it all.
He's done everything.
Grass, weed, marijuana, Mary Jane.
Ganja.
Ganja, cannabis.
Yeah.
He even smoked pot once.
Damn. That's one long record, yo.
He's been all over the place. So this episode, it's a knockoff of several different 60s type musicals like Tommy and Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar.
You get elements of all of those in there.
Chiefly those three come to mind. I've only really seen Tommy, but I mean, I've heard songs and stuff from some of the other
I've
ones.
I've seen none
but
of them, but
they definitely seem like those three come to mind.
Yeah.
And it's very, very expository.
Which is great. And, Larry Hardcore pushes on raisins and everybody smokes raisins.
So everybody starts smoking raisins. JFK jumps right in, gets a couple big bags of raisins.
He gets 2 scoops.
He gets 2 scoops from the pusher man.
From the pusher.
I'm the pusher.
And everybody gets super high on raisins. Gandhi gets way too high on raisins.
But then, is the magic trail mix... Gandhi eats magic trail mix after he meets the honky corn.
Right.
Is the magic trail mix ever explained?
Nope.
Or is it just, there's just more,
it's magic because raisins.
But it's smoking raisins that's getting them high. Like, the trail mix makes no sense at all, why it gets him more crazy. But whatever, that's fine.
Well, it just shrank him down so that the honky corn could put him on his...
Yes.
Back.
Gandhi encounters the honky corn, which is a hummingbird donkey unicorn.
Yep. Just like traditional myth.
So was that, I guess that was just a thing where you're sitting in like the writer's room and you're like, what's the funniest name of a combination animal we can come up with? And it's like, okay, we got a fairy tale animal. How about a honky corn? What's that?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Or someone just called someone a honky and someone just had unicorn on their minds. Like, okay, honky corn, how do we do this?
What's a different combination? Like, put three other animals together. Okay, one animal that isn't real, like a unicorn, with two animals that are real.
God.
Put them together right now on the spot. That's the game.
I'm
going to play two. I just thought of the game.
Chimera-popotamus.
Chimera-popotamus?
That's like four animals.
That's like a cheat. You picked the,
I know.
The,
well,
the
I couldn't think of anything
animals.
Else.
Okay.
You
okay.
Try.
I will try.
What other animals don't
oh,
exist?
Oh, I got one. I got one.
Okay.
Hippozebrasus.
It's oh,
a,
okay.
It's a striped flying hippo.
Nice. That works.
Hippozebrasus. Yeah. Try another one. I'm getting you one more. No, can't use a chimera. I'll give you the mythological creature.
Okay, yeah, please
do that.
And
you'll pick
the
other one.
I'll do the list.
It's going to be either... oh, okay, now I got to think of another mythological creature, right?
Is a Lorax?
How about a Hydra?
Hydra? Okay.
Sure.
Okay,
Hydra. Or,
Lydrophint.
Lydrophint. What's that?
Lion, Hydra, Elephant.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
That would be the I would not want to
like,
run into a lion.
Like I imagine an elephant body with like a bunch of lion heads
God.
On like long necks.
Oh my God, you just made that like 5 million times scarier. I didn't.
How did you imagine that?
I couldn't imagine it, but now that you've given me that, I can't unsee that.
Mine's kind of cartoony by comparison, just like a striped flying hippo.
Yeah,
that's
adorable.
Actually, that's pretty terrifying too.
It like, could be.
Hippos are terrifying
yeah.
creatures. Like
they're
the only
scary mofos.
The only like the question is like, okay, does a flying hippo choose to live in the water still, or is he like coming after you, like crashing through your house, coming after your stuff? Like
if
a flying hippo decides to live in your neighborhood, like you've just got to move.
That's
right?
It. Yeah. You can't deal with that.
Call the army.
No exterminators can be like, yeah, you're on your own with that.
Oh, there's a family of Lydrophints down the block. Run.
Run away and never look back.
Everything is over. The road.
You lost. Go away.
We're in the road warrior times now.
Yeah.
We're on. We're
Things
going,
exist that never did before.
We're going to Fury Road. Timely reference.
Totally.
But not timely for Clone High. Now we're talking about fictitious creatures for like an hour.
Yeah.
So
basilisk, you said.
So Gandhi encounters the honky corn.
Yep.
He eats the magic trail mix. He shrinks down. He goes for a ride on the honky corn. Grab onto my horn. And I'd imagine the next unspoken line to be like, stroke it a little.
Probably with the way Gandhi's storyline wraps up.
Yeah. It's I feel that it's very uncomfortable. Abe, should we just finish his story? Just follow
yeah,
it through?
Yeah,
kinda, I like breaking
Abe,
it down, just doing
Gandhi's,
story by story.
That,
why
that,
haven't
I
we?
Works,
I don't know why
that,
we haven't
yeah.
been doing
that.
That for no, forever.
We should have done
Hey, audience, listen, you know, we're getting this show on its feet.
Hey,
we're experienced podcasters, but that doesn't mean anything sometimes, right?
This is our fourth series?
Yeah, jeez.
Come on.
Like,
come on.
Don't,
look,
don't
yeah,
give us much
We
credit.
Had another podcast before this. I don't care.
Hey. What? Like we can't figure things out now?
Hey, look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Don't look
at
him.
Look at
me.
Look at me.
Look at
me.
Look
at him.
Look at
him.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Look at him.
Look at the floor.
Don't look at the floor. Look at him.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's go with Abe's story first.
Well, I think we should finish Gandhi's story. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Sean, I know that, you know, we all of a sudden we start doing a bit and you don't remember what bit we were doing before.
Well, you said
so
you wanted to
good.
Start Abe's story.
Did
and
I say? Oh, I thought I was just going like a story at a time.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're already on
Let's
Gandhi's.
Finish a story, I
yeah,
think is what I was trying
that,
to say.
That's okay.
So we'll finish Gandhi's story.
Sounds good.
Grab onto my horn, you know, fondle it a little. He goes on a magical journey with the honky corn.
He sure does. But he doesn't, he lets go of the honky corn and gets eaten by a cat.
That's right. He shrinks down and gets eaten by a cat. And inside of that cat, he encounters the Siamese twin version of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, who, with no pupils in their heads.
Arguably, arguably they're dead.
They seem you to be zombie-ified at some point or something. And they bestow upon him an amulet or gem that was given to them by Dave Coulier, inscribed with the message, the very important message, the only message Dave Coulier will ever leave you.
Yep.
Cut it out.
Those magical words.
Truer words, Sean, have never been spoken.
It's true. Very true.
Dave Coulier, Prince Among Men, ex-boyfriend of Alanis Morissette.
Really?
Yeah, the rumor, the long-standing rumor, and it may even have graduated from rumor to fact,
you know what I'm saying?
Is that the song You Oughta Know was written about Dave Coulier after the breakup.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never heard that before.
Well, that's you've just been... Don't Snopes me.
You've just been Coulier'd.
You've just been urban legend. Don't Snopes me.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to Snopes that.
My name is Brett. Don't Snopes me.
I
want to
believe that so bad.
It's my nickname. Don't Snopes me.
Nope on Snopes.
Everybody calls me Nopes. Yeah, Nopes on Snopes. That's my Twitter handle, at Nopes on Snopes. It's at Brett Mad. At Brett Mad and at, you can catch me also at Nopes on Snopes.
Yep.
Where I constantly tweet out different urban legends that I believe in.
Did you know that televisions were once a portal to another world dimension?
Actually, that's a pretty good idea.
Getting cut because that's
yeah. We're gonna cut that bit because that's a great Twitter. Like the we're gonna do the Twitter the Macaulay Culkin experience and the Culkin experience. It'll just be called. Or something
I still
like
feel
that.
Like weighing in on the Wayans is another potential hit.
Yeah, I think so. Well, these are all great projects.
All great ideas.
These are all right they're in the can. These are already done.
Already done.
They're already done. You'll hear them soon. So we close out that by, so we get the Dave Coulier amulet. How does he escape the cat? Does he fight, with the help of David Feldspar, the Australian dragon?
The stereotypical Australian dragon. Way too stereotypical.
David Feldspar.
Just.
Vegemite? You've never tried Vegemite? Well, shrimp on the barbie, dingo baby, baby dingo barbecue.
Boomerang. Koalas. Wallabies.
Well,
kangaroos.
Tasmania.
Cassowary. Et cetera. So yeah, I think the Australian dragon helped Gandhi out of the camp.
Yeah, and in the end when it's like, it seems like the Australian dragon was real at the end.
Was he?
Or that's the real question, Sean. Was he?
We'll never know, I guess.
Because all those things happen just inside their heads, and then Gandhi flies in on the dragon.
Oh my god, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Snap.
That's what had the last shot of the episode. It's like,
hey guys,
all that
Gandhi.
Stuff happened in our heads. Yep, and then Gandhi flies in on a dragon.
Great.
That's like screaming about Vegemite and Barbies.
And boomerangs.
And boomerangs.
And Gandhi's story wraps up with him saving the honky corn, becoming a princess, and the promise was that he was going to get thrice laid by the princess.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to.
No, because
he just ate a couple.
They never mentioned that it's not a human princess.
No,
she's still a.
She still has a honky corn face.
Yeah,
which just isn't doing it for Gandhi. And it ends in the most awkward, like, exchange.
Super awkward parting with Honky Corn.
Just the worst.
Just, like, she put it right all out there for Gandhi, and he's just like, and oh.
He just brick-walled that hard.
Oh, just a no-sell.
No-sell.
Like, yeah.
And then he flies in on a dragon and all as well.
Good thing that he met David Feldspar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so Abe becomes Captain Lavender by smoking a bunch of raisins.
Right.
And he leads the flower
people.
Well,
he was kind of peer pressured into it at first, like in JFK's van at the beginning of the episode.
Well, sure.
Everybody's smoking it, Julius Caesar.
Well, raisins are a gateway.
Jesus Christe. Mm-hmm. Okay, we touched on the controversy about Gandhi in the intro episode.
Yeah.
And we're now... Eight
this
episodes.
Is episode. This is the last
We're eight
episode.
Episodes in.
This is the last episode MTV aired.
Right. This is the last one that aired. And we have Jesus, who's a cholo gangster, smoking raisins in a van. How did nobody get offended by Jesus's portrayal?
No one. Just, you know what? I think I honestly feel like the people who would have been offended, A, maybe just weren't finding this kind of stuff in 2002, and also, okay, the kind of people who would actually be offended about Jesus Christ are so stupid that they wouldn't understand that Jesus Cristo was Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, you know what? You're probably right.
Him being Spanish would him not being like a white guy would have just like, they just would have immediately just been like, I wonder who that guy is.
Right.
Who's Jesus, like which historical figure is Jesus Cristo supposed
to
be?
Is that the Spanish Jesus or something? I don't know. That's on my Jesus.
I think that's my best explanation for it, Sean.
That's probably accurate. I wouldn't put it past a lot of people looking over that.
They were just too dumb.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Abe becomes after some consternation, he becomes the king of the flower people as Captain Lavender, and
with his common-law wife Rain Melon,
played
by Cleopatra,
and they get basically like the Incense and Peppermint song from the 60s in there, like it's just so great, all these songs. Pusher and Scudworth has a song about building his fence to keep out the drugs, you know, and.
To keep
out
the kids or the drugs? It wasn't really stated.
I mean, I think the idea is supposed to, it's keeping out the drugs. Well, the kids and the drugs are hand in hand in this in a lot of ways.
That's true.
The Eternal Abe gets a little bit of a song.
Yeah.
The Backstreet Boys gets burned as fruits, dancing fruits that the kids are into.
Yeah.
Big burn at the end there. Oh, yeah. And the great line from Gandhi when he smokes the raisins. Wow, I'm accepted. No subtext. Like, we're just
cool. I'm accepted.
It's the best.
I like the Pusher's song about him being a pusher.
Yep, it's a good one.
It's a good one. Jack Black definitely showing off his singing skills.
Whatnot.
Jack Black's great. He's a great singer.
I love hearing Jack Black sing.
Showcasing his singing skills.
I've always thought
in this episode.
I love. This show has so many things that I love, as voice wise too. I aspire to be like Jack Black and Will Forte in a lot of ways, and I like Jack Black's voice is really good for Broadway style singing too, in a lot of ways.
Okay.
I like that kind of. He's got he can put a lot of power.
He has
into
some
it.
Range to him, yeah.
Yeah, and he can get up there, so it's kind of cool. I really enjoy Jack Black singing, and yeah, he's done musicals before. Pick of Destiny is a musical.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
I suppose. Yeah, you could argue it's a musical.
You could argue it's a musical? You can't argue that it isn't a musical.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It is impossible to argue that The Pick of Destiny is not a musical. It is a musical in absolutely every way.
So, yeah, I guess there is one musical that I do enjoy, which is The Pick of Destiny.
And he did the musical sketch Jeepers Creepers.
The
worst show in Broadway history.
Jeepers Creepers. Mr.
Show.
Never say the Lord's name in vain. But I said Jeepers Creepers, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the end, the pusher gets exposed. And it, who is it?
Whoa, who is it?
None other than Larry Hardcore himself.
What?
Yep. Well, turns out, hey, you know, he maybe wrote a hit song or two. But times get tough, you know, but you make connections, right? You make connections. You perform before the California Raisins in the late 80s,
right.
And you meet people on the marketing panel. And, you know, eventually those marketing people need some new marketing, and they hire you to help with some raisin marketing.
Raisins don't just sell themselves.
That's right, Sean. Raisins require clever musical marketing gimmicks in order to be sold.
And inhaling them for recreational use.
Yeah, it's another way to expose your market share. Expand the market share, man.
Everybody should be doing that.
Yeah.
Need tomatoes? Smoke a tomato. Smoke a big old tomato. See what happens.
Like, okay, so if we want to support Canada's industries, we should figure out what sort of vegetables we could expand our growth of, and we need to convince people in other countries that smoking those vegetables will get them high.
Okay.
Like, we should start smoking canola gets you messed up. Okay. Whatever. They're just going to switch to crack.
Well, yeah.
In the end.
Obviously.
In the end.
Well, because the parents are doing the raisins now. It's not cool enough.
Yeah, it's not cool enough, so crack it is.
So, off to crack.
Yep. Cracksylvania.
Yep.
Sean, there's only one question remaining.
What question is that, Brett?
Who's the MVP?
Really, you're gonna ask me that question?
I'm gonna
out of all the questions you could have asked me, you asked me that one. Will you ask me every time?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you the one I ask every time.
That is a tough one for me, you know? It's a toss up between Gandhi in the first episode we watched in Plain Crazy.
Yep.
And Abe in the second episode we watched, because they both were great. I wanna pick two, but I can't. Oh man, this is tough. You know what? I'm going to go with Gandhi because G-Spot was solid. He rocks the G-Spot. We all know that now. Mm-hmm. We all know this. And his trip on the raisins with the honky corn and everything was great. I mean, honorable mention to Abe with the Captain Lavender and all that stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Gandhi.
Okay, man. That's great. I like that. Solid reasoning. I'm going to give it to Abe.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Abe because I'm impressed by his knowledge of the word cuckold, by his jacket that says property of Abe Lincoln, which I think is hilariously awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's the worst
thing. You know, his identity being completely just wrapped up in Cleo is just so disgusting.
It's really awful.
But it's so funny.
It's pretty funny, too.
And yeah, and then he becomes Captain Lavender and leader of the Flower People, and he can only be consoled by his eternal soul.
And raisins. Lots of raisins.
Yeah. So that's who I'm giving it to.
Cool.
So, yeah.
I'm glad Abe didn't get snubbed.
That's right. He's got to give... Will Forte's the best.
He is. He's great.
He deserves the love. So, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's it for another episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't. We're loving Clone High.
Absolutely.
It's such a solid show.
I can watch this. This could be the one show that, like exists ever, and I'd be fine with it.
Wow. But you'd want more episodes, though.
Oh, yeah. There need to be more episodes. Absolutely.
Given the conditions that this was the only show, you'd need at least 100 episodes.
Yeah. At least, like, minimum 100 episodes.
Yeah, you'd need syndication numbers.
Yeah.
Not like a soft 80, you know, like a hard 100.
Yeah, right? Man.
Like a really hard 100.
Yeah.
Like rock hard.
Like rock. It's like solid rock.
Like granite. Like diamond rock. Hard. Just like this diamond hard 100 episodes.
Like titanium or something.
Yeah, and they last forever. Yeah. And you just laugh. And you laugh.
So, yeah, thanks
for listening.
At
Brett Mad, at Sean Stewman. At Little Shows Pod, that's where we're at.
Check us out.
Let us know the appeal of cuckolding.
Yes, please.
Until next time.